Auli,
Ya.
mana?
Ayo.
Oh ya, kaku apa ulah mana Icak?
Here.
Oh ya. Ya, makau kawan ni kaku.
Hai.
Oh ya. No Leila. Kalau aina nu ya kaku apa ulah ikira. Pakai yakin ni. Kia nui a oko e kia naina kako e kipa mai nei I ke I a wahi alawai malu na kupu nai wele. A hele o kono, a hele o aloha ke I a oko. Kipa mai me ka mai kai, launa mai no, me ka pono, me ka mana olana. E hapa I aku I ko kako leo na ka pono o naivi kahiko, naivi kukuna noi o ko kako aina aloha. Ma o ahu nei. A wau noho I ke ia o hina le moana, wangkalu. A wau no, ki alaka I no ke ia aha halawai a o ka leo ke ia no ia moku o kona ma o ahu nei. Aloha.
Aloha.
O oe mai, Vice Chair.
Aloha kakahi aka ia kako, kakahi a pau, o wau auri I mecha.
Amo wau no ki alaka I moku
o
waianai kalapa. Yo, Auli'i. Aloha mai kako paka hia pau, wau no o kapana o lana mea. Ki alaka I no ka aina hi nua, a large landowner representative, no ki kula o kamehameha.
Oh, yeah, mahalo nui a oe kamana o.
I'm Chuck Airhorn, and I represent the large landowners developer interest. Mahalo.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Mahalo nui ya oe kumakua nui Chuck. Mahalo.
Aloha mai kako, kali from Atis, kohola aloha moku representative.
Mahalo anui ya oe kaleo elele noho ino kohola loa.
Aloha ia kako, o vau o mana ka leilani ka teres. I represent the moku of Eva. A brief statement for purposes of full disclosure. My ohana and I are state recognized lineal and cultural descendants to various iwi kupuna throughout the pai aina. I am the chief executive officer and the principal consultant of Ohana Kupuna Consulting. And therefore, I will be recusing myself for agenda items in section 4 item C and E, and in section 5, agenda items A and F. Mahalo.
Oh, yeah. Mahalo. Mahalo nui a oi mana. Chippy.
Aloha mai kako. This is Leslie Iaukea, Bureau of Security for Oahu.
Aloha.
Aloha.
This is Susan
Lilo,
Bureau of Security Archaeology Branch.
Aloha, this is Regina, Barrow State Specialist for Oahu History and Culture Branch.
O kako wale no ike yala. Kula bakula. Regina ma, oye wale no.
Ole, we have another staff member on the phone, joining the meeting. Tamara, can you introduce yourself, please?
Aloha, mai kako. This is Tamara Luthi, Shikri ethnographer. Mahalo.
Mahalo. A ke olu olu, Regina. Au hea oe e Regina ke olu olu. Nau no paha e alaka I mai. Ya kako I ke ya kakahi aka me ke kahi po o manao. Ai ole me ke kahi. Leo Pule, e vehe I ko kako papaha nei ke ia la. Ke olu olu. Regina?
Kalamai, there's another staff member I just noticed on the phone as well. Shelly, can you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, owa o ka ahiki, ma shepti, mahalo.
Oh, yeah, mahalo. Aia nei he maupo e ea e no shepti mai. Any other Shipti representation or anybody else? DLNR, are you out there?
Yes, hi, this is Samantha Hemingway, Oahu Island archaeologist from Shipti.
Mahalo, anyone else? No leila, Regina, ke olu olu. Now mai no paha. Ke kahi mana o ho ovehe ai ole ke kahi leo pule e vehe I ko kako papahani ke yala ke olu olu.
Just a mana o, o ke aloha kamea nui, that aloha is, you know, the one driving, or the most important driving factor in all of the work that we do. Aloha for each other, aloha for the lahui, aloha aina, and aloha for iwi kupuna as well. Oia vale no.
Oh yeah, olole iloa no kela, ke aloha no kumea nui. Mahalo nui ya oe Regina. No.
Mahalo ya oe e hina.
Mahalo nui kapai ane ya manao, e vai hoho I kakou I ke aloha I ko kakou na au. Na ke aloha no e alaka I a kakou, ma na alehele kupono, no kanawe ana, kanoke ana, ke alehele o ka maikai. Mahalo I ke akua, mahalo I nga kupuna no ka loko maikai o ke iala. Ke olu olu. pea mai nei, nga minuke no yune o ke la mahina kunei. Wa makaukawa nei, ai ole e ho'opane e aku I ke kei manawa e ae. Regina? Leslie?
E kala mai, can you repeat that?
Nga minuke no ke la mahina aku nei.
Yune? O oe no ko Leslie Kuleana.
Oh yeah, Leslie, any regarding the minutes for June?
Aloha, Hina.
Aloha.
Regarding the minutes for June, yes.
Aye. Did we receive that?
About 3 weeks ago, amongst many emails we sent you.
Yes. Council members,
Ikalamai, I believe Mana had one thing to, edit with the minutes. And so, so you know, I corrected what he wanted, and so was waiting for everyone else.
Would either Mana or Leslie care to expound on the amendment to the minutes?
The original draft of the minutes stated that I voted on the recognition that I recused myself for. So I just asked for that clarification and edit, revision of that particular agenda item, and then I stand behind the rest of the minutes as being correct.
Mahalo. Council members, anehe maume e kuka kuka ponuai.
I kikahi me e piliano ka leka. Wahana bau I kikahi leka, ya shifti.
Aye.
Recognition of OIBC. Hikipahia oko ke ko oma ama ahou ka leka. A ka ana I kikahi ma walelo. Walelo bau iloa ae.
Hiki no. Makemake o ia u na u e helu helu ai ole na no pa e helu helu e oli I.
Ai.
Na u?
Ai ke olu olu.
Okay, we kali 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 a hulia kua u maloko o ka u.
Ko ino a vale no ai. Ko ino a hina le moana ai.
Ai hiki no. Ke la vale no.
Hiki no.
Shall I read the contents of the letter, Vice Chair?
Ai ke olu olu.
Oh yeah, one moment. Ke olu olu. Oh here, oi. Kahuli ana ikea mea maluna kalolo wila. Where did it go? I just had it here.
Yeah,
okay. Kali kali ke. I know maloko ne ke kahi wahi. Mahalo nui a oe Vice Chair no ko hapai ana ko awamo ane ke kule ana no ke ia ke ia haku ane ia leka nei. Subject o OIBC's request for recognition as an appropriate Native Hawaiian organization, and we formally submit this letter pursuant to today's meeting. This letter is in regard to a request made by the members of the OIBC at the June 2020 meeting. The OIBC would like to be included as a Native Hawaiian organization in all future inadvertent discoveries of Iwi Kupuna. As stated in Chapter 6E, Hawaii Preservation, specifically 6E 43.6, Inadvertent Discovery of Burial Sites. Please distribute this letter of request to the appropriate parties which conducts the consultation process put forth by the Chapter 6E Hawaii Preservation. We look forward to participating in future consultation regarding inadvertent discoveries of Iwi Kupuna, na unome kaha aha, inale moana wang kalu chair. And ai ya uhe maika ino
ai ya he mamina mina wa e mai na la la mai
ena la la okay aha nei burial council members he mauni now questions comments
oh he mean now just I fully support the letter in the submittal. There is going to be one I when I used to work at DHHL, we encountered this hurdle with the Department of the Interior Office of Native Hawaiian Relations. And the big hurdle we'll be faced with is the fact that being recognized as a Native Hawaiian organization, technically we as council members, even though we do support, and in our na'au, we support Hawaiian causes, we are in fact the government-appointed entity. We're appointed by the governor, we're confirmed by the legislature. And so one thing that the Department of the Interior was always afraid of is setting a precedent. So if the OIBC can be recognized, can the Hawaii Department of Tourism be recognized? could the Board of Land and Natural Resources be recognized? And so it kind of, it opens up, it sets a precedence that even though our Na'au is in the right place, that because we are appointed by the governor, the OI may not choose to recognize us. But with that said, I think the letter still needs to be sent because we still want to be consulted when it comes to any types of inadvertent discoveries under 6E. We should be notified and be kept abreast of that. So I would say, go for it and submit the letter to DOI.
Mahalo Kamanao, as your current chair, I completely concur with that. And I do understand I do have the same understandings as you. It does set the precedent. However, as we clearly know from the proceedings of our past meetings, that sometimes in order for us to get to a certain place, and in this case, that place would be that we secure constant and consistent consultation with us to keep us abreast and involved in what happens on that forefront, we must first walk ourselves step by step there and have them formally yay or nay our request. And then that sets the stage and the impetus for us to be consulted with, because they would have logically denied us, but it does not mean that they should forego consultation with us. Thus, hopefully that's a little bit of clarification for those members here present in the meeting, members of the public, and everyone else here. Mahalo kamanao, council members. Ayanehe mau manao ai epiliana no ike yaleka. Chuck, any thoughts?
I'm in favor of the letter, and I just like to point out, well, Kamanao talked about DLNR and that kind of precedence. We are the only, DHHL and ourselves are the only two organizations appointed by the governor that speak directly to Hawaiian affairs. And therefore, I think what we're asking for in this letter is highly reasonable and could not possibly set a precedent.
And Chuck, I agree with you on that. We're also the only organization that speaks directly to cultural and lineal descendants, who we are listening to now as we evolve, as everything evolves, we're listening to now, and their interest in participating in that world of the inadvertent discoveries. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Hina.
Mahalo. And that is why I kuno to your wisdom and your institutional knowledge, Chuck. And you are so very much, much appreciated on this council. Thank you.
Thank you, and mahalo.
Mahalo to you as well, Auli'i. Mahalo for putting this forward. Any other council members? Community, a moment for any community sentiment before I move on.
Hello, Chair, real quick. This is Mana. I support the letter.
Mahalo. No other community? Aole? Seeing as none, nolela e holomo noho ikako.
Kala mai, Hina, I have a comment. This is Regina.
Hi, Regina.
So, as regulated by 6E43.6, I do notify the OIBC geographic representative and the chair, sometimes also the vice chair, if there is an inadvertent discovery. With that said, I will say, like, right now in the middle of 2020, I'm probably at about 75% notification, whereas I'm usually closer to 100% of my notifications to you guys. I have fallen progressively farther and farther behind since COVID-19 hit, and the work has been somewhat overwhelming. So with that said, we do engage in some kind of notification to you guys, to the Office of Hawaiian Affairs via their burials.oha.org email address, and occasionally if there's recognized lineal or cultural descendants to Ivikupuna within the same vicinity of an inadvertent discovery, I'll also notify them as well, because that's part of the regulation of 43.6. If in the future OIBC wants all of the council members to be notified, I don't have a problem with that at all. Just in terms of the consultation to involve all of the council members will be problematic. But moving forward, if we get clarification, well, when we get clarification from DOI, Native Hawaiian, Office of Native Hawaiian Relations, then we can move forward with that. Up until that point, I'll continue to notify, regardless, I will continue to notify the OIBC members, the chair, the vice chair, and the geographic representative. Oia valeno.
Oia, mahalo nui a oi, Regina, and chair recognizes your diligence and your tremendous effort put into all of the different burial concerns and issues that come before this council, as well as navigating the administrative support. And you know, it is with that on behalf of this council, please accept our appreciation for what you do. And thank you to you and the rest of the Shipti staff that work with you, work in support of you as one of our primary voices and connect with the division. Mahalo for all the support that you provide. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo hina, I appreciate that.
There is no, I don't believe that any of us on the council take any offense or feel slighted, because you know, you might be overtaxed in the responsibilities assigned to you and handling all of that, juggling them as you see fit. So again, on behalf of the council, mahalo nui.
Mahalo.
Okay, olu olu. Oh my gosh. Kaliki. Okay. Oh my goodness. Alia iki ke olu olu. Oh yeah. No leila. Holo mo no ia kako ya item A. OIBC council membership roles and responsibilities. Ayane he mau mea noho I paha na kako e kuka kuka pono ai I ke ia awake anei.
Ina noi ha'aha a kau.
Ai.
Two things really. The first one is today, unfortunately, I have to leave at 2:30. But just FYI. But the second one is regarding our term expiration dates for the Oahu Island Burial Council members.
Aye.
So looking at the calendar, looks like Mana Kateres, term expiration 6/30/2020, and Hina Lei Moana Wankalu, term expiration date 6/30/2020.
Aye.
Last month. And then the Kali and I were 2021, and Auli'i and Chuck, term expiration was
6/30/2019.
Oh. I want to know, I guess my question is for the SHPD, if there's any issue with any of our terms being extended.
Aloha, this is Regina. I don't have an answer to that. Kalamai, I think it was asked of me last meeting too, and I forgot to double check. I will scramble for an answer right now, and hopefully by the end of this meeting or later on in the meeting, I'll have an update for you guys. Kalamai.
Okay. Mahalo.
Mahalo. And on that note, with the current status of term expiration, now upon us. Technically, you know, if we were to view this in non-Kanaka style and apply sort of foreigner approach to it, some of us are technically done. However, as Kanaka, we know our kuleana is not done, and therefore we must continue to apply ourselves. Is there anyone in the public here in the online room that has an issue with any of us who have had term expiration come upon us, and you take issue with us continuing on with this meeting? If so, speak up now. Anybody got a problem with that? Oh, wait, let me say pidgin English for some of you. You guys get problem. Oh, not you, Kali.
No, just for clarification. So you're saying you're still good after your expiration date?
Always.
Okay. And actually, since we're on business, do I need to take my 5-hour energy for this meeting, or we can finish by short?
You should have already put in your Energizer batteries.
All right. No, but on a more serious note, Regina, also, how about the upcoming appointments? How's that going? That's the other question. That's a more serious question I had.
Yeah, the upcoming appointments, I don't know when. I think the legislature is supposed to end like relatively soon. I'll scramble for that answer right now. I'm actually emailing Hinano. I'll probably, I might leave this meeting briefly to call boards and commissions and follow up, and then come back into the meeting. So give me some time to work on that, but I will have an answer by the end of this meeting.
Regina, please, if you can, include myself and vice chair on it.
Please, mahalo.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
Mahalo. Yeah, let me just take this time too, because to also add that, you know, to Regina, also all the state employees, it's not an easy time. Overworked, understaffed. We just want to acknowledge you again, because we keep coming back to that. So mahalo.
Mahalo.
Mahalo, mahalo.
Hina, in regards to that, I'm under the impression that I can remain on the council as a holdover for a 1-year term before getting reappointed. I can't speak to the other issues that were brought up by Kamanao, but as far as my own situation goes, that is my understanding.
Aye. Aye, mahalo, mahalo.
Hi, this is Regina. I believe the holdover appointments are 1 year. But with COVID-19, there might be an additional couple month extension. I'm not exactly sure. So I'll follow up directly with boards and commissions, and hopefully Sharon can give me an answer ASAP, like today. But no promises, because she's like super busy. Not only does she have to staff or be sure that all of the IBCs are fully functioning, she has all of the rest of the commissions statewide as well. But I'll reach out to her nevertheless and hopefully get an answer.
Mahalo. Until then, as your current serving chair, until somebody kicks me out and kicks the rest of us out, then too bad, you're all stuck with us.
I bring it up not so much because I want you guys out in any way or fashion. I need my ohana. I love you guys on the council. I just wanted to make sure that, yeah, that we're all my kai, we're all good.
Mahalo. Mala ma'ana.
Are you including Kali on those comments, Kamanao?
Of course.
Yeah. I wanted to feel left out, Kamanao. He lives far away, you
Kali,
know.
Kali, I miss your backdrop. Your backdrop.
Mahalo.
I'll try to go beach next time.
So mahalo everyone, and yes, I firmly believe that we are making the right decision and that we proceed as normal, because it goes beyond what we have signed up technically to do. This is something that we commit ourselves to, so we don't necessarily need an appointment to tell us to take care of our kuleana. We'll continue to do so until the powers that be see fit to change that.
Well said.
And also, yes, I.
Oi, aloha. This is Kala'i.
Aloha.
So I just want to say, aloha no. So I want to say something really quick. I wish we could keep all of you forever. But I understand that we're not behind term limits. The reason I say that is because this Island Burial Council, all the members present today have gone above and beyond the call of duty. And I don't even know what it would look like when the makeup of this council changes. So I would say, po'omau, you know, like you said, Hina, so they kick you off. And even when they, if they try, kick and scream. Because, you know, we're in unusual times right now. So it would be so difficult to do any replacements, you know, even if we had people that were nominated to fill empty seats. So I'm really hoping that there will be exceptions made to this rule, because we are on the cusp, on the precipice of so many important decisions and so many incredible, so much work that has been done for our Ibi Kupuna, to protect them and to malama them. And I'm speaking mostly on behalf of what's happening at Waiha'o, that it would be horrific to lose any of our current council members, because you folks have been there almost from the beginning, each and every one of you, from this horrific heva started to happen. So I want to give a deep appreciation to every single one of you, because I know it's not easy to sit through these meetings every month, you know, 5-6 hours of listening to anguish and anger and passion and aloha for our kupuna. So, you know, just from myself to all of you, I'd just say mahalo nui and ho'omau.
Mahalo. Mahalo. And you know, to in support of that, I would say 6 years ago, I was offered a position that paid a whole lot more than where I'm at now. And I turned them down because they told me I had to get off the borough council, and I said no. So, you know, that's a personal experience on a level of commitment to these issues that we bring into the council forum. So with that said, ke olu olu e holomuaho I kako ya item B Kawaiaha'o Church multi-purpose building renovation project ahopo a Honolulu moko kona aina o ahunei TMK kahi lua kahi ole kolulua ole kahi hiku kamea mua olu olu nawai mai ana no ka update on the above project. Nawai mai, who will be providing us an update on this project this morning?
I cannot speak for Kawaiaho, but for the Ohana, I don't believe Haleloha is present right now. But I would like to hear from Kawaiaho their updates.
This is Suzanne, the chair of the Board of Trustees at Kawaiaho. I had just one comment based on last month's meeting.
Mahalo, Suzanne. Go ahead.
There was a comment regarding the church receiving $1 million from Hawaiian Dredging, and I had no knowledge of that. So I did a bunch of checking and research, and we have not received this donation, nor are we anticipating receiving any donation, monetary or in goods or services, from Hawaiian Dredging. So that was just a rumor that was started. And so I just want to, you know, make that clarification.
Mahalo, Suzanne.
You know, money is always nice, but it would, you know, really impact our bidding procedures when we go to fill up the puka. So we have to be very careful.
Mahalo. Mahalo for the clarification.
Question about that?
Sure.
So my understanding was it wasn't $1 million in money, in funding. It was $1 million worth of services. And I understand, or I thought I understood that it had been confirmed with Kahumukuakani.
No, I checked with Kahumukuakani, and that is not true. There was an employee we had for a short period of time, I think, that sent that email out to Holly and some other people, and he worked in the Kahu's office. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. We have not received any goods or services, nor are we anticipating receiving any.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, that's a big clear up, isn't it?
I mean, I really thought that it had been confirmed in a communication with Kahumukuakani, but if you're saying that's not happening, that's important. We need to know that.
No, it has not. And you know, I spent a long time talking with Kahu about this, and so there's just no basis for that. What I would call a rumor.
Okay. Mahalo nui.
Suzanne, this is Mahialani McClellan. Would you please share, if you're comfortable, with sharing with Kala'i and others what you shared with us at our family meeting with you folks regarding monies for reburial?
Oh, you know, when I met with the Akal family, they were under the impression that they had some obligation to pay for the reburial. And that, you know, that expense is going to be borne by the church. We're not looking for monies from any descendants for the reburial at all. I don't know how that started either.
Thank you.
Mahalo. Mahalo.
I have a comment. Ke olu olu.
Hi.
So the reason why the descendants, when we are in the process of raising funds to help rebury our kupuna at Hawaii Ha'o Church. And this is, to me, the first time I've heard that the church was going to bear the expenses for the reburial. We've done a budget. We have approached the Office of Hawaiian Affairs and Kamehameha Schools. We are currently raising monies because, I'm just going to be honest, it's not just I want to trust Kauai Ha'o Church. I do not trust anything that is said by anybody from the church because we've been burned so many times, burned big time. So I appreciate the fact that the church is willing to bear these expenses. If I see it happen, I will believe it. But up until that time happens for me, I mean, I'm going to continue raising money because I don't know if you folks have devised the budget yet. If the church has,
we have. Okay. I mean, we're anticipating this expense. And I just refer you back to the burial treatment plan, where the burial treatment plan that, you know, it's in for reconsideration right now, but it states in that burial treatment plan that the expenses will be borne by Kauai Ha'o Church.
Okay, well, that's really good to hear. Mahalo nui. I appreciate that big time. But once again, my sense of trust of anything
I understand
or does, I don't believe it till I see it. So, and just for me, as a descendant of Kupuna at Kauai Ha'o, I am more than willing to, you know, help with this effort because these are our kupuna. I'm not going to leave it up to chance. I'm not going to leave it up to chance. I'm not going to leave it up to, you know, commitments that don't get fulfilled. But I do mahalo you for offering to bear the expenses. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be very expensive. So thank you.
That it is.
Mahalo nui.
Aloha.
May I say something? Hi. Aloha, Suzanne. Mahalo nui to you and the church for bearing the expenses, because it is quite expensive to do. But I do have a question. Last meeting, Hale Aloha stated that the church was going to drop the contested case hearing, but I hadn't heard a yay or a nay from you. So could you touch on that, please?
We cannot drop the contested case hearing until we agree on a joint burial treatment plan, and we're extremely close. I have received the comments from Mana and Holly, and the Iti Kupuna committee is reviewing those. And at such time that we go in with the joint plan, then that contested case becomes moot, because we wouldn't have anything to contest to, because we're doing a joint plan that's being submitted.
Okay, thank you. Does that make sense? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. But I do have another question. Is the multipurpose center no longer going to be built then once we rebury Iti Kupuna? Are you still pursuing that?
We have no plans for building a multipurpose center at this time.
Okay. Mahalo.
Okay, I have a question. I have a question. Kala'i again. So those words, at this time, have been used before.
Sure.
And tricked us into believing that, the announcement was first made by Kahumakua Kane last year, that we could relax and we wouldn't have to worry about Waiha'o building a multipurpose center, until we tried to confirm what was going on, and we're told by Bill Haole at the following meeting that we weren't planning to build anything at this time, which to me is verbiage that gives Waiha'o some space. They might not be building it in the near future, but who knows what happens, 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever. How many years down the road, right?
That's very true. And we can't encumber that land for future generations. But the burial treatment plan is very specific, saying that we can't erect any building over the Iti Kupuna. So the Iti Kupuna are protected.
So why have the language? I don't understand that. If we're going to preserve our kupuna in place for perpetuity, that's what we want. I'm just saying, why even have that language in there? I do not understand it. If you know you can't build on this area where kupuna are, you can't.
There are types of constructions that you could do that would cantilevering, and we don't know what the construction is going to look like in 100 years. So to say that now would really encumber that parcel 100 years out or 200 years out for the church.
Well, let me say this about that, please, because this is important, Suzanne.
Sure, I understand.
This is important to me because our kupuna, who were dug out of their graves all the way down to the bedrock of that grave site, have suffered enough. They've suffered enough. Why hang this over their heads and hang this over the heads of Ohana to think that maybe in 100 years, we might have a floating building or something above them? The respect that these kupuna are due, rightfully due, after all of the heva and the desecration that Waiha'o Church has put them through for the last 10 to 20 years speaks for itself. So I'm just speaking on behalf of myself and my own ohana.
I understand.
That you know what? Let 100 years from now, let them worry about it. None of us going to be around. But I want those kupuna protected forever in perpetuity. Period.
And that's what the burial treatment plan will do. You really want you to refer back to the language in that, because that does protect your Iti.
You're missing the point, though. You're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point at all.
If you want to be pono, and you want to do this right, and I appreciate everything that you are doing to help us make this right, Well, when you leave language in there like that, you leave room for future desecration of our kupuna. That's all I'm saying. So, mahalo nui. I'm just gonna be quiet now because
understand
that upsets me.
Mahalo. Mahalo. Chair reclaims the time of our meeting. I would like to say that any kind of adjustment, amendment, revision to what we had already seen, to what we had formally agreed upon, knowing where it's going, when it does come back before this council, it is still to this council's pleasure or not, recommend the borough treatment plan to the SHPTI. And as such, for as long as we are, as long as we, the council members who have this institutional understanding of the discussion and its proceedings, we will continue to advocate for what the descendants come forward on. Now, with that said, we have seen moments where descendants have diverged from one another in sentiment. And we have also seen where descendants have stood firmly together. I would like to encourage our descendants to continue to work towards continuous positive regard and relations for one another, despite any differences that may arise in the days ahead. I encourage you to continue to diplomatically engage with the church, as trying and as challenging as that may be on some days. For the church, there are many unspoken elephants in the room. Perhaps I may just speak to that for a moment. The elephants in the room that we bear witness to here in council meeting sometimes really does make for very challenging moments. And that, you know, that that's rather very telling. In some churches, it is the kahu who has the absolute final say. In the case of Kawayaha'o Church, it is not the kahu that has the final say. It is the board that has the final say. So the familiarity and how do I say it? Common understanding that some might think they have when it comes to making decisions can perplex a lot of us, because you have difference in leadership opinion and difference in leadership perspective. So you have, the church has had its representation that has attended the meeting faithfully and been here all the time. It has come forward that there was discourse in that representation versus church board leadership versus church spiritual leadership. I can only encourage you all to... for the benefit of the EV that you are charged with the care of, that your cumulative ability to pull together to the public, not only for yourselves, but for everybody here in the meeting, it gets very challenging sometimes. And, nobody wants to necessarily speak to those things, because that's you folks' kuleana, that's your business, not ours. However, I would say that it has made for very challenging times on many occasions in our council meeting. So anyway, I won't belabor that point anymore. I have received word that Hale Aloha will not be making a presentation this morning. Is there anything else that the church would like to put forward as an update, or anything else that may come from you?
I just want to ask Bill and Keiko if they have anything else they would like to add.
Suzanne, I don't have anything to add, but thank you.
Mahalo.
Bill? No, I don't, Suzanne. Mahalo, Chair.
Mahalo.
I you know, under these circumstances of COVID-19, and I totally support the continuation until this time that we can faithfully and exercise, well, you know, your terms and the decisions on your terms. But I just want to extend mahalo for all of you who are willing to stay on till we get to that point.
Mahalo. Mahalo, William. To that end, for all the community here and for all of our council members, as when I mentioned earlier that I turned down a job that would make my life much more comfortable several years ago, I would say that in all fairness, it was the issue of Koyaha'o that I really wanted to stick around for, to see it through to its end. And for me, those of us here in this meeting room, looking at ourselves on this screen, it's irrelevant that we agree or disagree. It's irrelevant that we like or dislike one another. You know, that's not the point. The point is that we have availed ourselves to this topic, this issue. We have availed ourselves to advocating to the best of our ability, to the highest level of integrity that we can. And so all, you know, personal things set aside, it's a matter of principle. And I refuse to walk away from this because it was not done. And this was one of the most pressing issues that had ever come before the burial council. So I would like to encourage all of us in our various capacities or in our various roles that we wear in the positioning to this issue. Let's not get caught too much in the weeds. Let's continue to be frank and direct and deliberate in what we say and do. Continue to advocate to the best of our ability, but at the end of the day, let us continue to agree to come back to the table constantly and consistently until the kuleana is done. So thank you to all parties here. And no matter where you stand on the issue, we're going to stick to this until we're done. End of story.
Can I add something, Madam Chair?
Yes, Ko'olauloa.
Now, I'm going to kind of say the same thing I always say, maybe in a different way. I think Regina evoked this earlier. She mentioned aloha, right? Ame ke aloha. Aloha kaioia'e, right? The greatest. But churches are designed by design as places of hope, right? Kama na'o hi'o faith, kama na'o lana hope, right? And so when it was said today that it would be unprecedented for, as far as I know, for two burial treatment plants to come together as one, when I heard that earlier today, I was starting to see hope again. And when I heard no building is going to be built, I thought, oh, that's, but then mahalo to Auntie Kamuela Kala'i and others who have been vigilant and acknowledging and recognizing that needs to be addressed. Those issues need to be addressed. But in that spirit of hope, if we're coming closer to resolution, that I think that's what we've been waiting for. And so, you know, Bill has been here a long time. Keiko's been here. Lani from the beginning. Mahalo to you, Lani, as well. And Suzanne now here. Kahu has come, and of course the Ohana are all here, and I would be remiss not to acknowledge the Ohana have continuously been there. But if we're headed in that direction, great. Oh, that's the same thing I always say, the sooner the better.
If I could say something also, please. As a recognized lineal and cultural descendant to Koyaha'o, I do like Kali said, that, you know, I'm thankful that we're getting closer to some kind of resolution. But also as a lineal and cultural descendant at Kauai Aha'o, I feel like now I'm going to have to continue, my ohana and I will have to continue to be in Aiha'a to protect our kupuna. I was thinking that I might be able to relax a little bit from the last meeting, but I guess that's not the case. But I mahalo the church for at least taking positive steps, if not a lot of steps. We're getting closer with the baby steps. So mahalo nui for that.
Mahalo, Kiala.
Madam Chair, I wanted to add that, you know, as a board member, and Keiko also a board member, we stand behind with Suzanne Boltman, our chair, and our kahu in our commitment. Our first and foremost commitment is to reinter our iwi kupuna, to put them back. Yeah. And beyond that, it is a moot point. We are also committed to protecting them once they have been reentered. So that is a united commitment that our board of trustees and our kahu are concentrating on that. We don't know what the future is, but we don't want to tie up the future from moving forward in expanding, you know, the mission of the church. But that's not where we're at now. Where we're at right now is to concentrate on reburying our iwi kupuna, put them back as close to where they came from, and nothing else. So I just wanted to share that and hope that all of us recognize lineal or recognize cultural and the church will come together to concentrate on that reburial process. Yes, we all want to get it done sooner than later. So again, these are not, the church is not indifferent to what our ohana, our descendants are desiring. Neither is our consultants.
It's 11 o'clock.
And also Lani, that is our goal. So we stand with the descendants, recognizing we do know that that is the most important thing at this time. We don't know. I know that whatever we do in the future, that will not be decided by me. That will be decided by the future council members, future descendants, and future church leaders. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Mariama.
Mahalo. Mahalo, no kokako kama iliu ana. E pili ana no I keia kule ana nei. Aia nei he maumana o ko ke kaiaulu community. Any further community input?
Diane Fitzsimmons, I would like to say something.
I
also agree with what Kala'i said about in perpetuity, as we do have a newspaper article from 1906 where Kwai Hau was recommended by the Board of Health to not disturb the graves in the cemetery. That was in 1906, over 100 years ago, and here we are today. So I would like to, as a representative of the Kinimaka Ohana, who were buried in Kwai Hau in the middle 1800s, to not to add that in perpetuity to the burial treatment plan. Mahalo.
Diane, repeat that one more time. To not include?
To include. Perpetuity into the burial.
Mahalo. And that is according to our consultations and sentiments directed to this council, both on individual capacity and as a cumulative council. The sentiment has been made quite clear to us. That's really the elephant in the room is, will you commit to in perpetuity or not? I believe that we've heard somewhat indirectly that at this current time and not wishing to encumber the church property is clearly a dividing line when it comes to the salient points of the burial treatment plan. That's pretty much what it's going to come down to. So again, agreeing to disagree. I can't speak for myself, but I will commit to advocating for that language to be put in there, because I do believe that we have the capacity not to encumber the church land, but not to encumber our next of generations to even have to deal with this. And I look at this as quite different. Our Hawaiian people, our culture, our lifestyle, and our Kanaka worldview has severely been changed. Many times it's been compromised to the degree that many of our own people cannot even recognize what is Kanaka and what isn't. What constitutes cultural understanding? What constitutes cultural practice? What constitutes pono and pono ole? What constitutes as what we do, why we do, where, how, all of those things. I personally will always come from a standpoint of what I understand from being raised by grandparents and also being groomed and nurtured by Native Hawaiian speakers, who, for people who are only English speaking, you know, people who speak Hawaiian as a first language, it's a different culture altogether. And we do not come from the same culture as only English speakers, no matter how many things we have in common. So, yeah, that's the elephant in the room. And now only time will tell. So if it's going to have to come down to us, you know, going back to the table again, you can guarantee, be sure that as the Kona representative and as your current chair, that's what I will advocate for. That is what people like Kamala Kala'i and Diane Fitzsimmons and other recognized descendants that have come before the council, that is what they have requested, and that is what I will avail myself to. Council members, I urge you all to consider what your choices will be and to where you will place your intelligence and commitment to. If there are no other comments or sentiments from either council member or general public, may I move on? Anybody else?
You know, I just have a short
Mahialani.
Thank you, Hina, for your thoughts. And I just want to say I agree with you, Hina, and I agree with Kala'i and Diane. Honestly, I believe that all of our ohana who are representing the Iwi Kupuna at Kauai Ha'o would agree as well. Enough is enough. The kupuna have been out a very long time. Mahalo to Suzanne for moving this forward for the first time in several years. So mahalo nui. But yes, I totally agree with Kala'i and Diane that the kupuna need to be, once they are laid to rest, they cannot be disturbed again. And by disturbed, I don't mean pulled up again. I mean having something built over them. That would be a disturbance. So mahalo for supporting that. Hina.
Mahalo. Mahalo, mahalo. Anyone else? Anyone else? Seeing as none. Ke olu olu haavi kakuika leo mahalo no. Ke kuka kuka pono ana I akuleana no koe hao. Holomo ho I kako ya item C. Descendancy recognition application. For Carolyn, Donna, Kialo Napua, Norman, and Ohana. For skeletal remains at the Waimanalo Paradise Subdivision Project, Ahupa'a Waimanalo, Moko Ko'olau Poko, Aino Ahunei TMK. Kahi, ha kahi ole ole lua ole ole hiku. Information, discussion, and determination on the applicant's descendancy recognition application to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the above location. please let this following reading serve as the official reading for any and all business today. The council may elect to go into executive session pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-25, Section D. The council may close a meeting whenever location or description of a Native Hawaiian burial site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of a majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. Keala, I turn the time over to you to briefly state for the council your desire to be afforded recognition today for this particular agenda item pertaining to Waimanalo. Keala?
Mahalo hina. I humbly ask the council to recognize my ohana and I as cultural descendants to the Waimanalo Paradise Subdivision. We are experienced 20 years in consultation and protocols in reburial and to malamana iwi kupuna. Eolualu.
Mahalo. I do believe that the SHPTI has recommended you for cultural recognition. And I would you care to say anything else to this?
No, mahalo nui.
Mahalo. Council members, kuka kama ilio e pili ana no ya item C. Any discussion? Questions? He mauni now? Okay. Who's first? Auli'i and then Kali? Kali?
Oh, just for my clarification, I think I got I'm looking at the printed agenda from, I got in the mail. It's a little different, yeah? So this is not a carryover from previous, yeah? This is a new, from previous meeting.
This is for today's meeting.
Yeah, no, I think I got one printed. I got a hard copy one because I'm a hard, but I think this is what's an updated one.
Sent off an email on Monday.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, that's fine. And otherwise, kako'o. I mean, we know Auntie. Yeah. That's just my question. This is not a carryover, then. This is a new item. Okay. Mahalo.
This is an item that has come before us. And you may be familiar that Kamuala Kala'i.
Yeah.
Has brought this agenda item to our attention on several occasions now. And now currently seeking recognition is the ohana of Keala Norman.
Okay, I just had the hard copy, that's why. But okay, mahalo.
Yes. Council members, aia nehe mau mea ea e kuka kuka ponoi. Chuck?
I have nothing. It's okay with me.
Mahalo. Auli'i?
Auli'i, mahalo.
Yeah, mahalo, mahalo ya olua, mahalo e kali. Kamana o? Oh yeah, mahalo. I do believe that mana may be refraining from any comment or sentiment. Am I correct, mana?
Yes, this is one of the agenda items that I'm recusing myself for.
Mahalo mana.
Mahalo.
Okay. Community. Ayanei heleo kako'o ai eo. Heleo kako'o ai ole. Heleo ku e no item C. Any support or any opposition for item C? Community. Auhea oko. Kahi lua kolu ha lima ono iku walu iwa umi. Seeing as none, holomoho ikako.
Counting down your expiration.
Ko lau loa, you're expired already.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
Madam Chair, I move to
recognize Carolyn, Donna, Kialo, Napua, Norman, and Ohana as cultural descendants for skeletal remains at the Waimanalo Paradise Subdivision Project, Ahupua'o Waimanalo, Moku Oko Olau Poko, Ailana o Oahu, TMK, Kahi Ha, Kahi Ole Ole Lua, Ole Ole Hiku.
Oh yeah, mahalo anu ya oe kamana o for the the motion, and I believe Kali, you made the second. Am I correct?
Hey.
Aye, mahalo. Here, so before the vote, here goes the reading of the names. Carolyn Donna, ke alo napua Norman, amekon Ohana. Eileen ke kahili okomoku kawainui Norman. Debbie Paulette ke kahili okomoku Norman Kini. Nana maino o puahone kawahineui o ke anue nue Kini Lopes. Nana maino o kamahao Samuel Leialoha Kini Lopes. Apela ano hoi me nalani ke kahili okomoku Kini Gasper. Eia mai no Carolyn, Donna ke alo napua Norman, nana mai no o Justin ke po ohuna I ke auli, ke li ipa akaua, a me Chase, kaiolohia I alua ke li ipa akaua, nana mai no o Joey, mele hiwa hiwa tiemi ke li ipa akaua, me Brooke holopono, koji ke li ipa akaua. me Theodore, Robert ke kua iliahi Norman, Nana mai no o Kaleo ke kua iliahi Norman, Laua o kili inui ke ave amahi Norman, ka hopilo o ka ohana Kimberly ka nani o napua Norman Suzuki, nana mai no o Nicole ko vailere o Uanu Suzuki Peyton, me Ashley wahine ili kea Suzuki Silva, a me Kara ka makani ka ili aloha a Kales. Hela no kaheru ana I nai noa, waha pai ia, a ua apono ia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried.
Aye.
Mahalo. Aye. Recognition afforded. Mahalo ke ala.
Mahalo nui.
Oh, yeah. Mahalo nui ya oe. Mahalo nui I ko ohana, no ko uko, ho uku paa, no kapono. O nā iwi kupuna.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Olomua ho I kākou. Item D. Draft burial treatment plan for the Hale Waiolu Senior Residences Project. Honolulu ahupua'a moko kona aino ahunei TMK. Kahi hiku ole ole ono ole kahi lua. This is a discussion and determination whether to preserve in place or relocate human skeletal remains at the above location. I believe we have Matt McDermott, the head of Cultural Surveys Hawaii, to provide us with a presentation today.
Aloha kako. Can everyone hear me? See me?
Yeah.
Aloha.
This is a agenda item we've discussed a number of times previously, so I want to take a few moments to go through a brief PowerPoint if I could. It looks like what's on the screen now is the actual draft burial treatment plan. I'd sent a PowerPoint. I wonder if we could swap out the PowerPoint for the treatment plan, maybe Leslie or...
Aloha, Matt. It's Leslie. Did not get the PowerPoint. I just have the PDF. If you could resend the PowerPoint, I'd appreciate it. I was wondering about that too. I thought, oh, okay, I can just scroll down as you go. But no, if you have the
PowerPoint. Okay. I believe that it would be wise for us to allow just a few moments for that to happen. Matt, would that be okay with you?
Just get that to her right away. You want to take a 5-minute break or?
Okay. Why don't we table item D for now? Let's give them a few minutes to work that out. Holomua ho'ikako ya item F, update on bills in the Hawaii State Legislature regarding historic preservation. Oh, I'm sorry, Leslie, you need time to take care of that too, huh?
Mahalo, Hina.
Haha. Ala Moana Tower, item E, Ala Moana Tower project. Is that you too, Matt?
That's me too, I'm afraid. Let me just get this email sent.
All right, then. Everybody, we will recess for a few minutes so we can just stay online. Not unless...
Aloha, this is Regina. I can provide the legislative updates while Leslie and,
excellent. And Mahalo, Matt Regina. Get items. Mahalo, Regina. Go ahead.
Okay, let me just open my, there it is. Okay, so I sent forward to the OIBC members a bunch of bills. Gosh, I think at the beginning of the session, we were following something like 21 bills. Most of them have died. There is a couple that are still alive, but the one that was actually not in that package of information I sent to you guys is, sorry, one second now. I can't remember if it's a House bill or if it's a Senate bill. Hold on one second. It is fine. Da, 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 da. SB 3103. That is the formation of a new facilities agency for the Department of Education. Basically, the first draft of the bill proposed to completely bypass the 6E historic preservation process, the review process for any type of new development or exploratory work for a school kind of situation. And I will say this, just speaking off of personal experience from being at SHPTE, the Department of Education's, some of the projects that they do, the undertakings themselves are sometimes minor when compared to like a whole complete new development. However, they do also include utilities infrastructure and ground excavation. And we have had encounters with Iwi Kupuna and also historic properties for DOE projects before. So completely stripping SHPTE of its power to and authority to engage in the 6E process of reviewing permits would be detrimental, not only to the resource itself, but to our ability to provide recommendations to mitigate in advance of actual encountering of these types of historic properties. So the good thing is that for now, the newest draft of this SB 3103 has completely removed that 6E exemption. So 6E is no longer on the table to be part of that bill. It's been removed, which therefore means that SHPTE will have an opportunity to still comment on the permit and make recommendations accordingly. So that was our biggest concern. OHA provided comments. I believe DLNR provided comments as well. So currently, those 6E exemptions, which were proposed in earlier versions of the bills, are off the table. That was probably the most important one and the one that we had the most concern about, which was not included in that package of information I sent to you guys. Most of the other bills are dead. I'm just scrolling through it really quick. And if other people, sorry, for people who are on the Zoom meeting who want to see this information, I'm going to send the package of information that I provided to the OIBC members to our IT person to post on our website. That way you can kind of see the bills that we were tracking and a summary of the bill. And there's even like clickable links that will send you straight to the legislative website. So yeah, that's all I have for now. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
I have a question on that. Regina, that original bill that you say has been changed dramatically, Did you say it actually applied to more or less government buildings like schools? It was limited to those kinds of buildings?
That's correct. It was for a new facilities agency to oversee the construction of DOE type properties or infrastructure even. Because up until this point, well, actually continuing, all projects have to, like even government projects, have to be sent to us for our review under 6E for historic preservation review. The Senate Bill 3103 proposed to create a new agency to do those kinds of reviews in-house, separate from and completely excluding SHPDE and stripping us of our authority to do those types of reviews. But like I said, the latest version of that bill has removed the 6E exemption from it, thereby, therefore, we're still part of the 6E process.
Mahalo. Regina, who promulgated that bill?
Let me check. I will say it's supported at the governor level, really heavily supported. It's going to take me a second to look it up. Let's see, is this SB 3103? Oh, here it is. The introducers were Kochi, Baker, Chang, English, Favela, Gabbard, Ihara, Inouye, Kai Kahele, Kanuha, Keith Agaran, Jarrett Kihokalole, Kidani, Kim Moriwaki, Nishihara, Riviere, Ruderman, Shima Bukuro, Thielen, and Wakai. So, basically a lot of the senators, if not all of them.
Okay. When it comes to this particular bill, Regina, if you are made aware of anything that takes the bill out of the calm area where it's at now and puts it back into, place of contention, please let me know right away.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Apologies. This is one that I wasn't personally following. I was following the others. But this is one that has the greatest potential, or had, prior to the 6E exemptions being removed, it had the greatest potential to be really terrible for us. I'm not going to say that the reorganization isn't like not terrible for us, but at least the 6E exemptions are removed from the latest draft. If this bill comes up for testimony or anything of that nature, I will let you guys know immediately.
Well, I mean, does that mean that they would still try to do some of their own work versus routing it through you?
No, I don't think they, I think with the 6E exemptions removed, it would still have to come to us. So the existing 6E mechanism for review would is still intact. That's what I mean to say.
Okay.
So we would still be involved. Yeah.
Okay. Mahalo. Main thing. That's a completely unacceptable bill to do that.
Yeah, agreed. It was shocking.
Regina, thanks for keeping your eye open on this. Who knows where we're going to be as individuals a year from now. So these kinds of ideas never completely die. So in the future, we all got to just keep our eyes open. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Mahalo nui.
Mahalo. How are we doing, Matt?
I've sent it off. I'm hoping that Leslie's had a chance to get it open. It is a PowerPoint, but it's a PDF copy of the PowerPoint.
Oh, I see. Okay. Give her a little bit more time then. Regina. There we are.
Okay, this is the barrel treatment plan again. Is there a PDF of the PowerPoint?
Hi, Matt. This is Leslie.
So it's not letting me go to any PowerPoint. It's just offering me the PDF. I could actually just put the PDF up and I can scroll down as you're going through it. You just let me know when to, I guess, scroll down. Is that okay for you? Because there is no PowerPoint that I can get at.
I mean, it is a PDF file, but it's a PDF of the PowerPoint. So what Correct. You have up is a PDF of the Barrow treatment plan. If you can put up the PowerPoint presentation, it starts with the Holly Biolu, that would be great.
Correct. There is no PowerPoint. So they're all PDFs. And so it won't let me get to the PDF, the PowerPoint.
Yeah. If you could just put up the PDF version of the PowerPoint.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. One moment.
To complicate matters, but another thing we could also do is there's a share screen function on that we're all able to. If Matt is able to share his screen, he can just pull up the PowerPoint on his end.
I was just going to say that.
Right, Matt, are you able to do that on your side?
Yeah, I'll have to transfer it into this laptop I'm using. I apologize. It'll take me about a few minutes just to get that, okay?
Okay.
Might we be able to do inadvertent updates?
Yeah.
Yep, we can do that.
Yeah, awesome. Great. Thanks for joining.
We're early today.
Awesome.
Contrary
well, to what we find by information. Okay, yep, I gotta go load the thing. Okay, yeah, so you guys wanna start with the inadvertence at the one at Lilia?
Aye. On
the 4th of June? Okay, so this is regarding an inadvertent discovery of Ibikupuna on June 4th, 2020 at the Lilia project, the Diamond Head portion under the sidewalk at Kane Kapole. So this is a partially in situ individual. It has been impacted by previous work not related to the current Brookfield Hawaii project undertaking. For the time being, the EV that were encountered during the work to move a fire hydrant, those have been preserved in place in the trench. There's concerns about, because there's going to be a kicker or a high pressure, a high pressure water kicker to go up to the fire hydrant. If there's a blowout subsurface, all of the subsurface strata will quickly become, it'll just be impacted negatively if there's a burst of that kicker subsurface. So we have, I think the information that we have up to this point is preservation in place is definitely a potential with the understanding that there could be subsurface impacts in the future. And there's also if relocation is decided, then the burial preserve area is across Kane Kapole, right under the banyan tree, where the old, I think it was a sack and save, yeah, Matt? The old sack and save used to be.
The food pantry.
The food pantry, that's right, not sack and save. The old food pantry. So, what is that? Perry's Smorgasbord, right? That old restaurant?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so there is an established burial
preserve. That was where the theater used to be.
Yeah.
So long ago, yeah. That's where we're at for that one. I'm kind of leaving it to the cultural descendants. If more information is needed, then we can get that information, I guess, from the consultants moving forward through additional exploratory work if the cultural descendants want more information. But for now, our options are, of course, with everything else, preservation in place with the caveat of the potential for subsurface disturbance if something adverse happens, or relocation to the burial preserve across the street. For me, at least, on that one.
Hello. Item B.
If I could interrupt real quick, just if I want to get, if I want to share screen, can someone disable? It says it's disabled, or the
our host, maybe Lester Regina can can authorize you to do that.
Aloha, Matt. It's Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Your assistant just sent me the PowerPoint, so let me go ahead and upload it, and I can put it on my screen, okay? So one moment.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Regina, Waimanu Street.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me go back to my, oh, darn it. Shoot. 1 second. Okay, so the Waimanu Street one, it's on the Pensacola part of that intersection, I believe. Let me just double check real quick. Okay, so this is an inadvertent discovery of Ivikupuna on June 9th, 2020 at this excavation on Waimanu Street. It was for hearts. It was a heart-related excavation consisting of, the find consisted of a humeral shaft that was in a disturbed context, possibly originated from the backfill material used to backfill a sewer line excavation that was like way before Hart. No pit cuts or additional remains were observed with this particular humeral shaft. So the back dirt was inspected by an osteologist and no human remains were observed. I had been concerned at the time because of the size of the excavation. I had a couple of concerns. First was the safety of the crew, and then second was like the potential for there to be in situ remains. So what was found out after that was that the remains consisted of a single humeral shaft in a disarticulated or previously disturbed context. So no in situ elements were observed. And subsequent to that, then I approved moving the remains to the interim curation facility that Hart has. So yep, that's it for that one.
Mahalo. And last one, item C.
Item C, is that, which Malai one is Kahana? That? Malai Kahana?
Ko'olo.
Okay, so Malai Kahana, this occurred on June 11, 2020. Prior to this, at the same address, there had been multiple individuals that were encountered during unmonitored excavation for the foundation of a retaining wall. So when those individuals were encountered and I was called out and identified them as human and multiple humans, I recommended that the project proponents hire an archaeological firm to document what was there, recover, and then also made suggestions for an on-site burial preserve, which they carried out. This was like last year, April of last year, April 2019. So they completed that portion of the project, moved forward with the reinterment and establishment of the burial preserve on the property. This one, the project proponents moved forward with excavation for the installation of a septic system. After they installed the septic system, while they were moving the back dirt around, they found skeletal elements and called me, and then called the archaeological firm that they had worked with previously. So the archaeological firm sent somebody out there the same day. I followed up with an in-site visit, I mean, an in-person visit the next day, which I think was the 12th, 6-12-2020, and made some recommendations that the sidewall of the excavations where there was obviously an occupational deposit be documented, if there were anything noticeable in the sidewalls, that it be documented and then subsequently recovered, and 100% screening of this massive sand pile that was out there. So I believe they're close to finishing the sand pile screening today. They've had success in recovery. We're looking at an M&I of 4 individuals. And most likely they'll go back to the burial preserve on the property that had been used previously. I should also note that before this project even started, when I went out there to, well, after the project started, the project had started, I went out there in April to respond to those inadvertent discoveries from last year. And I noticed that there was like a nice looking enclosed platform of like dry stacked and masonry wall kind of upslope from where this property is. And I asked the project proponents, I said, what is that? You know, why is that over on this side? And what they told me, and I haven't been able to find any information in Shipti's records, but what they told me is that back in the day when they were developing, or when the project next door was being developed, they found multiple individuals, and instead of reburying it on their property, they reburied it on the neighboring property, which comprises 5201 Kamehameha Highway. I don't know how many individuals are in there. I don't know where they originated from, except that I have this account from someone who said that they came from the neighboring property. So this is an area where, you know, it used to be a massive sand dune. Definitely when they started excavating for the foundation wall, clear evidence of a massive sand dune and an occupational deposit that was pretty substantial, which is not unlike what we would expect for an area like Malai Kahana. But it was surprising to me nonetheless that we had no records whatsoever of the neighboring parcel, of the work that was done there, or the burial preserve that was created on this parcel. I don't know what to say about that. It's just really kind of an interesting but very unfortunate situation. I will be asking the project proponents and their archaeological consultant to include that burial platform on the property that predates this particular project in their burial treatment plan, so at least we have a running record and documentation of it for Shipti's files, and then for all of our files moving forward. Oya Valeno.
Oya. Mahalo.
This is, so you mentioned April, but this is since, I think, we were in Hakipu, on the 12th or something like that?
Yeah, yep, that's this right.
Was, and we briefly, but we didn't,
Oh, you know what? We were in Hakipu on the 19th.
Is that when it was? Okay, okay.
Yeah, but then this one came up the week before. Yeah, it was on the 12th. Yeah. So it was another Friday. Yeah, it was crazy.
All right.
Yeah. And this one is separate. You remember the one that you and I were talking about? Like, it was probably 2018, Kali. The one with Adam Lee. Right. It was like a cluster residential development. Mm-hmm. This isn't the same one, but let me tell you, brah, it is so close by. It's not owned by Adam Lee, and he's not the landowner, and he's not the developer, but it's really close. The cluster residential development. That was one that had a couple of findings. This is not that cluster residential development, but it's I want to say less than a quarter mile down the road from that Adam Lee related cluster residential development. So it's not, you know, I mean, we kind of think of Malai Kahana as being this beautiful undeveloped area, but there's been troll development.
Oh yeah, there's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
my question, because I wasn't sure at what point this was. Okay, we can talk story.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Sorry, I know we keep saying that and then I never call you. I'll call you though. I will. I'll call you before this week as well.
Okay. Yeah. Mahalo. I should be calling you. Mahalo.
Aloha, Regina.
Aloha.
No, so I have a question. You know, with developments like residential developments like that, are they required to do an AIS prior to any kind of ground disturbance?
Mahalo, that's a really good question. With regard to a cluster residential development, this is kind of weird. Cluster residential developments usually do not get sent to us by DPP. And sometimes, I don't know what the mechanism is there, but somehow cluster residential developments do not come to us. They might start as like maybe, you know, one or two units, but then eventually over time it gets developed into a cluster residential kind of thing. And then by the time they get approval for their permits, the SHPD have been completely bypassed in that process.
Wow.
So for the cluster residential developments, I don't know what happens there. I would say that usually we should be seeing those things, because I've gotten into situations where, honestly, more than once, cluster residential developments have resulted in multiple fines. And then you have to deal with a different landowner or different landowner jurisdictions. I think that's something we need to talk to DPP about. Yeah. And then with regard to this particular project, this particular client at 56201 Kamehameha Highway, no, we didn't get any information about it at all until I got the phone call that skeletal remains had been found. I think normally we would like to see an AIS in advance, but we don't always get an opportunity to comment on the permit before the permit is issued. And once again, that is a conversation I believe SHPTI, our administration, and the upper levels, like above me, need to have with DPP and their administration as well.
Oh, mahalo, Regina. Yeah, that's very disturbing that they are, you know, they have that loophole, yeah, for those residential clusters.
Yeah.
What is the likelihood of people above you having this conversation with DPP? Well, you know what? That's a rhetorical question. Don't answer that.
No, it's okay. It's a rhetorical question, and I'll take a stab at answering it. You know, if I think the likelihood of us having a meaningful or opening a meaningful dialogue at this point is, we could do that. We could do that on Zoom. It's super easy for us to set up. And basically, we've been like kind of, you know, I don't want to say shuffling our cards, but we have plenty evidence at SHPTI to give DPP and be like, dudes, come on, you know, it shouldn't be me like emailing Tim Hugh and being like, dude, can you please check out this TMK, because we should be looking at a permit for that particular TMK, because I know there's stuff there. But it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be like our, you know, institutional memory. It should be, okay, we're having this. This is a new residential structure that's being developed in an area that we have no archaeological information for. Therefore, we absolutely should have an opportunity to comment on the permit. So with that said, sorry, long Portuguese explanation, but with that said, I think we are at a better position now to open a dialogue, a meaningful dialogue and discourse with DPP.
Mahalo nui for that.
Mahalo, Keala. I'd like to request on your behalf and anyone else's behalf who would like to know more about the DPP interface with SHPTI and how projects like that are treated for our, you know, for greater clarification and understanding. Might I request of SHPTI for one of you to reach out to DPP and have them be agendized so that we can actually Let's see, do we need to?
You know, Aloha, this is Regina. I think I think it would be beneficial for us to reach out to them and just have a conversation, either formally or informally, regarding the concerns that we have. And then after we kind of identify the long-standing issues, then greater involvement and a larger dialogue with the scope of stakeholders, I think would really be beneficial. So let me reach out to them and reach out to my administration as well. I know the ledge is supposed to conclude like relatively soon. So we're like kind of focused on that right now. But nevertheless, we can still start to talk to DPP about the concerns that not only you guys have, but we have as an agency. But yeah, I will definitely interface with you guys and let you know as things evolve on our side. And then open the dialogue to a larger scope of stakeholders as well.
Mahalo, Regina.
Mahalo.
Please keep us posted.
Mahalo, Nui.
So I believe we have only two more items on the agenda. And let us go back to Halewai Olu. Matt?
Good morning. Sorry for that confusion. I appreciate Leslie and Regina's help in getting this straightened out. So the Halewai Olu Senior Residences is a project that we've talked about at the OIBC for a long time now. I think their initial presentation to you folks was back in May of 2019. This is a project to develop affordable senior housing right on River Makaya Vineyard Boulevard, right up against Nu'uanu Stream. It'll be a 17-story. It's had some use of federal funds, HUD funding. So there was Section 106 involved with this historic preservation review. And it was also under Chapter 6E, the state regulations as far as historic preservation review. Well, we've completed an archaeological inventory survey, and that was approved by the SHPD last month. And now we're before you have a determination based on the draft burial treatment plan, which I believe copies have been forwarded to you. The recognized cultural descendants include the Norman Ohana, the Keteres Ohana, and just last month at your last meeting in June, we had Gail Kayo and Mr. Medeiros also were granted cultural descendancy as well. And the draft burial plan was developed particularly with the Teres and Norman input, but we also have some input, the Gail Kayo and Mr. Medeiros, and that information is included in the draft burial treatment plan now. So here's the location map. We're at Nu'uanu Stream. We're just Makaya Vineyard Boulevard. A current two-story building there, the John Gilliland Building, constructed in 1958. That will be demolished to build the 17-story affordable housing, senior housing project. It's a fairly tight footprint. There'll be parking and administrative buildings on the first floors. Floors 4 up to 17 will be the actual housing. This is a view from Nu'uanu Stream. We're standing on North Kukui Street Bridge. On the right hand there is the Lumsai Ho Tong. The project here is actually the blue two-story building with the wavy roof that shows up in the center of the photograph. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned, presentations to the OIBC, this also summarizes the recognized cultural descendants who are currently have been recognized by the OIBC. Next slide, please. Here's the project, demolished the John Gilliland Building, which was constructed in 1958. Affordable housing for seniors, 155 affordable rental units, 17 floors. The project proponent is the City and County of Honolulu. And the developer is Halevaiolu Senior Development LLC. Next slide. So our archaeological inventory survey consisted of 15 test excavations. You can see them laid out in that figure there. The only human skeletal remains were found in test excavation 2. That's shown by the red triangle there on kind of the southern or Makai portion of the project area. It's in a discernible burial pit about a meter below surface or about 3 feet below surface. Based on context and available information, it's most likely Native Hawaiian. It was currently preserved in place. It's previously identified by definition because it was found during AIS. So it's treated the Hawaiian Burial Council's jurisdiction. We are proposing preservation in place in the burial treatment plan, and we'll go on to describe exactly what that will look like. Next slide. This is just some historic maps on the left, 1871 Lyons map, on the right, the 1893 Dodge and Wall map, just showing the relationship of the burial find and the test excavations in relation to some structures from that. This is when the area was still largely, or at least becoming more urban, with some houses there. It was about this time, a little bit 1900s, when the buildings were put in place along River Street. Next slide. The main brunt of the burial treatment plan was worked out at an on-site meeting on Thursday, January 23rd. We have a list of those who were in attendance, which included the Gutierrez Ohana, Keala Norman, Gerald Lamb, Kehaulani Lum, Kaivi, and representatives of City as well as Senior Development LLC. We discussed the BTP, the measures for preservation in place, the pros and cons of leaving it in place or relocation. And basically we came up with the current plan, which is in the burial treatment plan now, for preservation in place beneath a portion of the building with protective measures using steel plates to ensure that the burial will not be disturbed during construction. Next slides, please.
I wanted to also add that my son Kepo'o was in attendance. Matt, his name's not on there.
Oh, my apologies. We'll correct that.
Okay, mahalo.
So this figure shows the building footprint. As you can see, it's a pretty tight development window. You have left-hand side is River Street. The Iwi Kapuna is shown the red dot. You can make out it's kind of on a sidewalk. This is directly adjacent to the red dot is a doorway. The doorway is for an emergency staircase and emergency exit. So there will not be a lot of pedestrian traffic over this area, but it will be adjacent to an emergency staircase. And that box structure is actually the staircase that's immediately mauka of it. And the light kind of drawing you see to the south or of the red dot is showing the actual sidewalk like area that will be accessing the exit. The next, more clearly, kind of in a 3D perspective, how the burial will be preserved in place using the protective measures of the steel plates. Next slide, please. So in the upper left corner, you have a closer up of that plan view. You can see the small square is the burial preserve area, which measures 4 by 4 feet. The darker square above that or rectangle is the actual footprint of the staircase. The break in that on the Makai side is the if you go to the right, you can see how the barrel red will be preserved in place with a green vertical steel plate and then a blue horizontal steel plate that goes up above it. And the bottom two drawings show that as kind of perspective 3D sketch, how that will look. How the burial will be preserved in kind of a gap in that large foundation element, the pile cap, with the piles will be around it, the pile cap on either side, but the burial itself will protect intersected by these steel plates, vertical and horizontal. Next slide, please. Again, another figure just in plan view with a blow up showing how the barrel would be preserved in place immediately south or Makai of the staircase with the emergency exit on a walkway that accesses that exit. This is adjacent to the ramp up that goes into the parking structure. So the barrel treatment plan has been submitted for your room. It seems with all but one exception, the culture descent is R4 preservation in place. Gail Kayo did express reservations about preservation in place and was more leaning towards relocation of the remains. Are there any questions?
Mauni nau ane ka oko ina lala o ke ane council members.
I have a question.
Chad?
Say you get under construction, you find some other remains. How are those remains going to be considered and treated?
That's a great question. You know, in the past, when we wrote our barrel plans, we would kind of go into some detail about what could be done with the inadvertent finds during construction. Going back about 10 years, the Attorney General's office has cautioned us against doing this. You know, the Hawaii State Barrel Law says that these inadvertent finds, their treatment has to be determined by the SHPD on a case-by-case basis. So they wanted us to take out language that kind of programmatically discusses what would happen to inadvertent finds. So we followed that lead in this barrel treatment plan.
Well, I have a very big concern with that. You were at last month's meeting when some inadvertent finds were discovered out in Waimanalo. And we were told that in your burial treatment plan, there's a sentence that any further finds will be considered as inadvertent. I strongly believe that every find, if you find anything, say a month from now when you start digging up the site and you find something, that should not be considered as an inadvertent discovery. And I want your burial treatment plan to
12 o'clock.
To really address that, and so that we are not left out on a limb like we were last month when, you know, well, you were there.
Well, I understand your concerns, Chuck, but I think the Hawaii State Barrel Law is really clear that if it's found during the construction phase, that it will be an inadvertent find, and there's really not a way around that.
I think there's got to be a way around that.
That's what's evolving right now. That's what's really evolving that we cannot see.
Aloha. I kakoa that all the way, Chuck. But, you know, if that can't be changed right now, there still leaves that question, what happens to that ibi kupuna that are in inadvertently found? There's no burial preserve in on that property, and it has always been our mana'o as a ohana that a burial needs to be on the in the location of that property where the kupuna are found. So that would be my next question. I believe the last time we met with you guys that you said, and also the representatives of the city and county also said, that there was no room on the property for this burial preserve. Is that still the case, or is the city and county willing to, you know, offer a little corner somewhere for ibi kupuna in the event that they are desecrated and dug up?
I think, you know, there's all a small corner, there's a small landscaped area that could be used. We focused on the preservation in place measures for this BTP. But if there were an inadvertent find, I think that definitely either a preservation in place option might be possible, or if that's not possible, relocation on the site. I think the city county as the landowner would be very much open to that.
Well, I see two solutions to the problem as I see it. Number one, you write the OIBC that clearly states, that gives the OIBC the power to treat inadvertent fines as predetermined or whatever the term is. Number two, in the future, when you do your AIS, we should require you to do a heck of a lot more trenches, test trenches, because